Thank you, Stephen, for that beautiful music. That was a quick opportunity we've had of hearing Stephen play since we returned. My dear brothers and sisters, I've done many frightening things in the last 3 years, but I think this is the most frightening. And I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to be present today, that we might understand each other, and then I might say something in these few minutes that will convey to you the spirit that we felt in the mission field. My heart is full of gratitude and love to you and to my Father in heaven for the special blessings and privileges and opportunities that have been ours. As you, some of you will recall, 3 years ago, we experienced in Peru the 12 days of Christmas, brought about by the wonderful members of the Pleasantly First Ward. Those of you who participated in that 12 days of Christmas will know what I'm talking about. Also recently we received an envelope with a similar experience, saying that this was to help us to get started back in our activities back in the United States. Many of you have sent cards, letters, gifts, checks, and we want you to know how much we appreciate this and how much the people in Peru appreciate many things that you did in order that we might be more generous in the things that we did. People weren't able to go to the temple. They were helped in many other ways because of your monetary contributions to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The missionaries so loved the world that they leave their homes and their families and they go into the world to teach the gospel to the world. It has been our privilege to be associated closely with these wonderful missionaries, your sons and your daughters, your brothers and your sisters. They're marvelous, wonderful people. Miracles have been performed through your missionaries. In the Doctrine and Covenants, in the 35th section, verse 13 through 15, it says, "Wherefore I call upon the weak things of the world, those who are unlearned and despised, to thrash the nations by the power of my spirit, and their arm shall be my arm, and I will be their shield and their buckler, and I will gird up their loins, and they shall fight manfully for me, and their enemies shall be under their feet, and I will let fall the sword in their behalf, and by the fire of my indignation will I preserve them. And the poor and the meek shall have the gospel preached unto them, and they shall be looking forth for the time of my coming, for it is nigh at hand." And this happens in mission field. These young missionaries are the arm of the Lord. Elder Peterson said that in the temple in Kirtland, the apostolic power to go forth and preach the gospel to be missionaries was given to the prophet Joseph Smith. But he was not able to carry this forth alone. And so the 12 were called to go forth to all the world and preach the gospel. And neither could they do it alone. And so missionaries, when they are called and set apart, whether they be elders or sisters, are given a part of this apostolic power to go forth and preach the gospel. And these young men and women change the lives of our brothers and sisters. In Peru, we saw such great and wonderful changes come into the lives of people. I knew that the gospel changed lives. But I have never understood nor comprehended the changes that come to people when they receive the gospel and accept Christ in their lives. Just before we came home, some members of the church made great sacrifice to travel from Pisco and Chincha to Lima and spend an evening with us. And as they sat in our living room, they told us of things that had happened in their lives. Chris Vasavachi, who has been a member of the church about 2 years now, but who was set apart as branch president after he had been a member only 3 months, told of the great blessings that had been in his life. And he said, before his children went to school, and they're just little children in grammar school, he laid his hands upon their heads and gave them a blessing, that they could be a light to the world, that they could live the gospel and be able to withstand the opposition that they find in the schools, that they could truly be Latter-day Saints. President Del Carpio told that the very day before, his son had left on a mission, and now the Peruvian people are privileged to go to the Sao Paulo Temple and receive their endowments before they become missionaries. And he said before they went to the airport to take their son to go to Sao Paulo, he too placed his hands upon the head of his son and gave him a father's blessing. He felt the surge of love and joy go from him to his son. And they embraced each other afterwards, and there was a communication of father and son that had never been there before. The gospel changes lives. The gospel makes men out of, and women out of these young boys and girls who go to the mission field to preach the gospel. They have wisdom and spiritual blessings beyond their age. Many times have I sat in testimony readings, in zone conferences, and in the mission home, as new missionaries come into the field, and as missionaries complete their missions and they bear their testimonies, that this is the greatest 2 years of their lives. And their lives have been changed, and their light glows in their eyes, and you know that the Spirit of the Lord is there. And the Peruvian missionaries, time and time again, especially Elder Aldavi, who is present today, as he served as assistant to President Willie, he would say, thank you for coming to Peru. Thank you for the sacrifices you've made to bring the gospel to my people. My brothers and sisters, we're all brothers and sisters throughout the world. And I love my Peruvian brothers and sisters. I love the Lord. And I'm grateful for the privilege that I have of being there. I learned to love the scriptures as I have never learned before. I always knew they were important. And I pray to my Heavenly Father that I will not lose that desire to study the scriptures daily, because I draw near to my Father in heaven, and in the scriptures we find answers to our daily problems. President Romney, when he married us, said, read the Book of Mormon because you'll find answers to your everyday problems. And at that time I thought, how can you find answers to your everyday problems from an ancient history? But it's true, my brothers and sisters. I look at these missionaries and I think of the 2,000 young men, the sons of Helaman, and they tell of how their mothers taught them, and they did not doubt. And your young men and your young women go to the mission field with the strength that you have taught them. Family home evenings, family prayers, and they carry and share this with their Peruvian brothers and sisters. We see miracles of health and strength. Just one more short story about the branch of Chincha. President Comey was a drunkard when the missionaries found him. He was unkind to his wife and his family. And he decided he wasn't going to listen to the Charles anymore. And his five-year-old boy came to him with tears in his eyes and says, "Poppy, don't drink anymore. When you drink, you hit mommy and you hit me and you hit my brothers and sisters. Please, Poppy, don't drink anymore." So he decided he would listen to the Charles. And he accepted the gospel. And he never again had a desire to drink. Within a short period of time, 3 months, 4 months, he was made a branch president. And one of his best friends, who was also one of his drinking friends, saw how his life had changed. And he wanted to know why. And he joined the church. And he has never done it since. My brothers and sisters, I know the gospel is true. I love the gospel and I love the Lord with all my heart. And I pray that I might serve, that I might be worthy of the privileges and opportunities that have been mine. That I will not be, that I will not let these special privileges that have come to my life go by the wayside. That I will have grown, that I will be able to be a better servant to my Father in heaven, that I will be a better missionary, that I will serve in whatever way I am called, for I know the gospel's true. I know that God lives, that Jesus is his Son, and that he's the Christ, our Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you greetings, I bring you love, and I bring you appreciation from Peruvian people. They're great people. It's a land choice in terms of the blessings that were promised in ancient days. In Doctrine and Covenants, we read that the Lamanites will blossom as a rose. In Peru, we see the beginnings of the fulfillment of that prophecy. I've never seen a people that had such an affinity and a strong response to the Spirit. Elder Cook, on one occasion, he was the area supervisor for our general authority administrator for the Andean area. One occasion he said, and this is in Lima, Peru, that if all the people in that city had the opportunity to listen to and understand the message that he preached, he said he was sure that over half would be baptized. And that's something that can be said about many nations. There are people who have suffered a great deal and continue to suffer. On many occasions, in fact, after coming back, I saw on TV a demonstration that they showed in Salt Lake of the poor. They were demonstrating for more relief, and as I looked at them, they didn't look very poor to me. I've seen poor people. But I've seen poor people who have great faith in the Lord and meet their commitments, even their financial commitments to the Lord, and they're blessed. When you have a family at times that they only have one little hard roll and water for breakfast, and sometimes not even that, who will pay their tithing, and they don't pay it out of their surplus, they pay it out of their necessities. And they do it in faith, and the Lord begins to bless that family, and you see great changes coming to that. And these are great experiences to be part of. I learned very quickly in the mission that the only way I could bless people would be to help them to comply with the principles of the gospel, because every time they comply with the principles, they were blessed. I'm reminded of an incident that occurred in one of the provinces in Peru. The children of this woman were taking the discussion. By the way, if you hear the word charro, that's discussion. When they were taking the discussion, the woman didn't have any particular interest because she was very embittered with life. She and her husband were in their 50s. He had been out of work for something like 2 years, and the unemployment rate in Peru runs around 40%. So if you think about suffering, I don't think we suffer much here in this land of nobody money. But she was a seamstress and did sewing, and she sewed 7 days a week, all day long. She woke up every morning very embittered with life. Her husband, 2 years, couldn't find a job. Her children somehow got involved through a friend or relative and taking the discussions. And she went over there one day to pick up the children and hid behind the door and listen. And the spirit of the message touched her heart, and she told the missionaries. And this was the very day where the relative decided not to continue with the discussion, but she invited the missionaries over to her home. In the morning that they had the appointment, she woke up and looked in the cupboard, and there was zero food, nothing for breakfast for her children. She thought, well, I'll sew up a little dress for an infant, and I'll go up and down the streets and see if I can't sell this dress, and then go to the store and buy some little rolls that my children can have some breakfast. She started on the dress, and in came the missionaries, and she thought, what do I do now? She decided, well, I guess I better listen to the missionaries. They barely commenced teaching her the first discussion, and a woman entered her shop. And she said, this never happens, because this woman was a complete stranger, brought material and said, you sew dresses, don't you? And she said, yes. She said, well, I want you to sew me a dress of this type. She described it and so forth and left the material. And then she gave her half of her fee in advance. And she says, this never happens. She says, it always happens that you sew the dress up first, and then in the first fitting, you get paid half of your fee, and then when you deliver the dress, you get the other half. But this woman, who was a complete stranger, gave her the first half when she first ordered the dress and gave her the material. And so then she went back to listen to the discussion in peace, because she had money to for her children for breakfast. Now, in this case, and I should say this, the missionaries are very powerful with the Spirit. And the elders that were teaching her felt by the Spirit to make her a promise, and they told her that if she got baptized in the church, that her husband would get a job. She accepted the discussions, she had faith in that promise, she had faith in the Spirit that she felt during the discussions, and she was baptized. Within about 10 days, her husband had a job offer, which she accepted. And during the next week, he received two more job offers, which was a very sweet, very special fulfillment of the promise that the missionaries made to her. What impresses me probably most of anything in the mission field, and this is true throughout the church, are the manifestations of the Spirit. It seems though early in the experience of being a mission president, it's more or less like being a new father. You're very inexperienced. We had several days of orientation in Salt Lake City, and then I overlapped my predecessor by a few hours, like 3 or 4 hours of passing on some information to me, and he left. The first little while seemed pretty easy. I mean, missionaries were very amiable, and I didn't really see any problem. I thought, gee, this isn't a bad job at all. And it's just what you don't know what's happening, I guess. But during those first few months, the Spirit is a great instructor. We had some very unusual, very special experiences. I remember on 2 or 3 occasions thinking, gee, what a good job I'm doing. Only to have the Spirit drain me immediately. And it's a very shocking experience to feel yourself empty of the Spirit. So I immediately, in my mind, set out to thank the Lord for what He had accomplished by His Spirit, and I felt the Spirit fill me up again. I remember on one occasion I was counseling a missionary who was writing to a girl that lived within the boundaries of the mission, which was against the White Book rules. And the girl had a birthday, and he and his companion were kind enough to fly into Lima to attend a birthday party, and that kind of touched me right here or something. So I thought I better get up here and talk to him. So we talked quite a bit, and he expressed his love for her and his intention to marry her and so forth. And there was no immoral about the problem. It was his question of being in violation of mission rules. And as we talked, he explained to me that his real necessity in writing was to know that the girl was all right. He said, if I knew that, Preston, that would be sufficient. And I thought at that moment, like a human being, I thought, well, if I don't get 100%, I'm walking out with 95%. And so I said, Elder, how about this? If you write every week, but just two lines to verify that she's okay. And those words left my mouth, the Spirit drained me again. And it's a very, very empty feeling. In fact, I meditated various times when somebody is excommunicated and loses the gift of the Spirit. And they're subjected to the buffetings of Satan, what an empty feeling that must be. So I set about with that incident to explain to him what had occurred. And I said, Elder, I can't counsel you against the counsel of the brethren. And I felt the Spirit fill me up. And I learned at that incident very strongly that the Spirit influences the operation of the church at all levels. And Bishop Paul will find me a very strong supporter of him in every respect, because I know he's guided by the Spirit in things that he does. Our time is up. I hope we'll have a chance in the fireside or something to get into more detail. But I want you to know that I have a testimony. Bishop said I had a fight more than tell you another good sense. This has to do with putting lives in order. In fact, I'd like all of my fellow servants to stand up who have come here to defend ex-missionaries from Peru and South Mission. You stand up. Some of these folks have traveled, flown, or driven, or motorcycled, whatever, for this weekend from Canada, from California, and various places on the West Coast, and I deeply appreciate their coming here. But missionaries are very powerful when they testify by the Spirit, and the Spirit bears witness whenever they talk the gospel truths. As they put lives in order, as you get people to start to obey principles of the gospel, they change, and their lives change. I remember one young lady who really wasn't investigated in church. She was a journalism student. This was very early in our stay in Peru. She wanted to interview me, I guess like a journalist would interview a person. And I guess I didn't get the message that much. She wanted to interview me about the church. And so we talked a little bit, and I asked her about her feelings on church. So, well, she wasn't too sure. She didn't have any particular interest in it. And so I asked her, I said, could we talk a little bit about that? And she said, sure. And so we went to a little room on the side, and learned very quickly that if there's a problem with unworthiness, the Spirit won't strive there. So I asked her, I said, do you mind if I ask you a question? And she said, go ahead. And I asked her about her moral worthiness, and she was a morally worthy person. So I decided, well, that's not how I was to go. And I asked her another question. I said, now, if you really knew that the gospel is true, that what we preach is the only true church of Jesus Christ, if you knew this by the Spirit, would you join the church? And she said, yes. I said, I'm not concerned about you. I said, that sincerity, if you continue investigating the church, you'll get that testimony, you will be baptized. So a month later, she was baptized along with her twin brother and one younger brother. And with my next visit there, she came up to me and she said, would you come talk to my mother? So So I went into their house and talked to the mother. And this is a case where the father was a very active adulterer and actually flaunted his adultery to the very deep suffering of this woman. And the thing that came to me at that time, so I talked to her, was section 64, the need of her forgiving her husband so that she could have peace in her life. We talked about that and various other things. Months later, she was baptized. Next visit, went there, they wanted me to talk to a younger sister who was keeping some bad company. Anyway, same thing happened. Interviewed her, and about a month later, she was baptized. So they're all members of the church except the adulterer father, who never came home. He worked in another town, and every time he came to his hometown, he always went to this other woman's house. A little over a year passed, and the oldest brother, who was one of the twins, the twin of the journalism student, he was interviewed and received his mission call and went into the mission field. And that increased the blessings to that family. And about 2 months after he entered the mission field, the father took two discussions. And when the 4th of July, which is the 28th of July, came about, it's a 4-day holiday, he came to town and came home. And he apologized to the family and said he'd like to become as he was before. He knew that he had done wrong. Anyway, so he continued taking the discussion, and we saw that man baptized. And there are currently 3 children of that family that are now on full-time mission simultaneously. And each little element of that family has been put in order. Repentance has occurred, and that family is preparing to go to the temple to be an eternal family. And there are just many, many wonderful experiences like this. My time's up. I just want to say that I know that on the morning of a beautiful, clear day early in the spring of 1820, that Joseph Smith went into the forest and he both heard and saw the Father and Son being full of the Spirit, and that the Lord raised him up to be a prophet to begin his dispensation of the gospel. I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Know that he suffered our sins and he purchased every one of us. And because of his mercy, which he will grant unto us by our diligence in following him and taking him literally as our example in life, that we can be forgiven of our sins. And Father, both by the mercy of the atonement to each one of us. I know the church is true. I know that God lives, that Jesus Christ lives, and they have power to give life, even eternal life, even as we have received life and we are children of God at this time. I really love the scripture in Psalms that says, "Ye are God's, and all of you, children of the Most High." I leave this message in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
We are grateful to the Willicks for the report on the mission, and I hope that we will arrange a fireside where they may report more extensively on what they accomplished and the interesting things that they found there. We appreciate others who have taken part today, Stephen, for his beautiful piano solo, the Carlisles, the Gibbons, Sister Clark, and Sister Barnett for their always faithful assistance in our duties. We invite you to return again next week, where the state presidency will be presiding and where you will receive a new bishopric. We will sing for our closing hymn, number 115, America, and a benediction will be given by Sister Joanne Thomas.
I'm
Father in heaven, we come before thee in humility and gratitude for this most inspiring meeting, and we're grateful to thee for this opportunity that comes to us so frequently. We pray that we might be appreciative of the spiritual food and direction that is so abundantly given. We pray that we will not take it for granted, that we will not allow it to become commonplace in our lives. We ask thee to bless us with a spirit of receptivity for the instruction that we receive constantly from thy hand, if we will desire to do so. We are especially grateful this day for the report of this family who is given abundantly in time and means and devotion, faith and prayer, and all of those qualities that typify leadership in our church. I'm grateful for their willingness, for their ability, and most of all for their spirit of goodness and true Christian living that has typified their lives for as long as they've known them. Qualities that have come forth not only in this service that has been long and demanding, but in all that they have been asked to do. We know that it will continue in their lives, and we pray that it will be inspiring and exemplary to all of us as we go forth in those things that we are asked to do. We are grateful for all that we have with thy hands. Grateful for one another, and for the feeling within this world and state of brotherhood and sisterhood, and for the abundant love that surrounds us. We pray that we will be humble and grateful before thee. We ask thee to sustain us in our weakness, in our times of difficulty, for we know that these are part of testing our spiritual mettle and tutoring us as we grow. We ask thee now to be with us throughout the meetings that follow, through the balance of this day and this week. We say this in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.